98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Briggs the boom and catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
All right, the Suns in action tonight against the Utah Jazz. Should be a good one. And joining us right now, as he does every game day during the week, it's a game day with K-Ray, which means K-Ray's got to be here. Kevin Ray of Valley Sports. Okay, how's it going, man?
Gentlemen, how are we doing on this fine Monday?
Oh, man, we're doing great, really. The weekend was incredible, was it not? Not only the Suns and how they played on Saturday night, but my goodness, K, there was some good football played over the weekend.
Woo! I'm telling you, it was absolutely glorious, other than the fact that there's a couple of teams that we were wishing were taking part in that. But that's a discussion for another day.
Indeed.
So the Suns get the Jazz tonight. We were talking about this earlier, Kevin. Like, you look at the Suns, and it's, okay, Devin Booker's out. Okay, well, they'll just still win. Or DeAndre Ayton's out, and Devin Booker's having a bad shooting night. Okay, well, they'll just still win. If you were playing against the Suns, like, what boxes do you think you need to check to beat them at this point?
Let's see. Shoot 50% from the field. Out-rebound them. And outscore them second chance points, probably 2 or 3 to 1.
Yeah.
And that's still not a guarantee.
Yes. Kevin,
still not a guarantee, because that's essentially what the Raptors did, although the Suns did hold them below 50% shooting. But yeah, you really need to check three of those category boxes to I think give yourself a shot at realistically winning.
You know, I'm sitting there as I'm watching the Suns beat the Pacers, and the only thing I can think of is, how in the world was Bismack Biyombo available? What was he doing, Kay? How did James Jones pull that off?
The only thing that I can come up with, Wolf, is that Bismack had somehow gotten put in witness protection program, and James was the only one who had his burner account number. Because, I mean, how else do you explain? And Bismack has said, look, there were several other suitors involved, but, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum, really going back even beyond last year, guys, and talking about the philosophy, the principles, the culture that has been created, cultivated here under Monty Williams and James Jones, and the people that are a part of that. And Bismack wanted to be a part of it. You know, he said last week, he's like, if I was going to come back and play, and obviously the loss of his father has impacted him in ways that, you know, few of us can really understand. But he said, if I'm going to play, I want to play with and for a purpose. And he felt like the Suns gave him that best shot.
Talking to Kevin Ray, of course, it is game day with K-Ray. Kevin, looking over at the Jazz side of things, no Donovan Mitchell tonight. This is the one team that finished ahead of the Suns in the standings last year, albeit only by a game. But they're 7 games back right now. So from the Suns' perspective now, how do you approach the Jazz?
Well, you have to approach them the same way you did the Pacers, which is, you know, and Monty said this the other night in the pregame that, look, I don't care who is on the roster tonight, who steps on the floor. If you slip on an NBA jersey and play in an NBA game, you're good enough to be in the NBA, which means you are good enough to potentially win. So give them the due respect. Yes, it's not the playmakers that you're accustomed to seeing over there, but Quinn Snyder is a really, really good coach. And you've got guys who are going to get opportunities to play extended minutes. So for the Suns, it's about how they approach it and what they do more so than what the Jazz are coming to the floor with.
So, okay, JaVale McGee, he played 18 minutes. He went 13-12. It looked like to me that he's starting to come out of that COVID fog. I don't know if that's the reason why he was starting to look tepid, but it looks like to me that he's starting to look like JaVale McGee again. Have you noticed the same?
I would completely agree. I thought, and EJ and I said it on the telecast the other night, that it was really good to see JaVale playing like he, you know, really like he had. I mean, that was his 13th start of the season, and he's averaging not quite 13 points and, you know, about 8.5 rebounds per game. But it was really the first time that I thought we saw the, you know, that burst and that pop from him.
Yep.
As much on the defensive end as what we've, you know, had missed for a few games on the offensive end. So that's a great sign.
Kevin, at this point, does anything that Chris Paul does it surprise you? And I guess the second part of that question is, how concerned are you campaign's not going to play tonight? I mean, if he has to miss some time, that they may have to lean on Chris Paul too much, or will they just go with Elfrid Payton at times?
I'm just concerned that Wolf thought he was 43. I mean, I heard him talking earlier today.
I thought it was 37. He's only 36, and my goodness, 45 games, and he's played in all 45.
I mean, what can you say? You just, you know, we are so fortunate and blessed to be able to watch the supreme talent that is Chris Paul. And I know you guys ran the clip earlier about, you know, him having the conversation with, you know, Biombo about really just how easy the game is. And it just speaks to the way he views the floor. And it's obvious that he sees it different than the majority of even really good point guards in the NBA. But look, it's all about the way he approaches the game, the way he takes care of his body and has taken care of his body over the last couple of years. And a guy that just, you know, it's not hyperbole when you hear him say, I just love to hoop, you know. And if he's healthy and feeling good, he wants to hoop. He will not buy into this, you know, idea of load management. Unless it's just absolutely called for.
How in the world do you lose a guy like DeAndre Ayton and you still go out and you roll? I, you know, what does this say about DA, Kay? I'm not trying to point at this and say, oh boy, he's not going to get a max deal now, because it just proves that they don't need, you know, I'm not saying that.
Right.
How do you think, though, this does impact DeAndre Ayton going forward?
You know, there's a couple of different ways you can look at it. And I know because DA didn't get the deal, that it becomes real easy to, you know, to marginalize, I think, unfortunately, for some people. Well, my goodness, look at what the Suns have been doing without him, with, you know, with JaVale and with Bismack. But let's not forget, these are also regular season games that they're winning, and not to diminish those, but bottom line is we saw what DA is capable of doing in the postseason. And do I believe that JaVale and Bismack could hold the fort down come postseason time? I absolutely do. To me, it just speaks to, once again, not only getting the quality depth, but much like JaVale, I never imagined Bismack playing the way he has, especially on the offensive end. And it speaks to the ease of the game with which Chris Paul makes it for everybody around him. But it also speaks to the system and the coaching staff, you know, reminding these guys, hey, we don't want to be shorthanded. So we don't want to play 4-on-5 offensively. And so to me, it speaks to Monty and this coaching staff reminding these guys, hey, you're still on the offensive end of the floor. We want you to unlock maybe some of the offensive game that you had to put in a box for your other teams. So I choose to look at it that way more than what this says about DeAndre Ayton. Because bottom line is, come playoff time, you're going to still need number 22 in the paint.
Yep.
Kevin Ray, great stuff as always, man. We're looking forward to the game tonight. Thanks for the time.
All right, boys. Take care.